The Bourbon Beards and Belvederes. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And I'm Jerry.
Today we got some more bourbon to drink, some more cigars to smoke, and some more beer products to tell you guys about. As always, we're starting with our palate warmer. So I'll start at my top left there. Paul, what are you starting with, buddy?
So I'm starting with Pendleton Midnight from Pendleton Whiskey. It's a blended Canadian whiskey. A portion of that blend is aged in American brandy barrels for 6 years. First time I'm having this was just today, just to get a taste of it, to see what it was like. It's really good. For, I think I paid $36 for it. It's like really caramel forward. There's like some red berries, like fruity tones to it, probably coming from the brandy finish. But then there's a lot of cinnamon and nutmeg spice on the end, which is nice. So it's a good find. I had never seen this bottle before.
Jerry, what do you got?
Kazuba's straight rye whiskey, 100% rye whiskey, or malted rye whiskey. 90 proof, coming from St. Pete, Florida, originally from Poland. I don't remember if I've had this one on the show before or not. Originally in Poland, moved down to Florida in, I think, 2012. For some reason, found their way in St. Pete and made a distillery, putting out some fantastic stuff.
Yeah, well, in case anybody hasn't figured it out yet, this is a rye-themed episode, so I also went to the rye, and I've had this one on here before, but I had a major gaffe talking about where it came from. So I've got Old Overholt 114. It's called Old Overholt 114 because it is 114 proof straight rye whiskey from Jim Beam. Now it says bottled by A. Overholt and Company, Frankfort/Clermont, Kentucky. So that's, you know, simply because Jim Beam owns that name, or I guess I should say, Jim Beam's parent company owns that name. But this is a damn good whiskey. I don't remember what the cost was. I don't know the mash bill because, you know, they keep that pretty close to the vest. But it's pretty damn tasty. And it's working out well with this cigar, which we'll get into in a little while. Damn. This is the first drink of the day for me at 114 proof. I'm jumping in with both feet. I'm afraid I might get kind of wet, so.
No other way to do it.
And that's just, it's bubblegum. Bubblegum and then a lot of heat. And then that rye comes in there.
Yep, I always get minty bubblegum off that one, too.
It would be awesome if Beam could find a way to get that Beam nuttiness involved in this whiskey. I think one that I've actually never had. And I'm afraid, I'm ashamed to admit this. I've never had a Jim Beam rye.
Really?
Never. And I'm going to have to change that pretty soon. It took me a while to come back around to Jim Beam. Okay, so the first whiskey that I ever got drunk on was Jim Beam White Label. And I got drunk, and then I went beyond drunk, and then I got real fucking sick. And it took me quite a while to come back around to it. So I hated it for a long time. You know, later in life, I grew to appreciate it again, and a wide range of their products I currently own, but that's one that I don't, and one that I've never had, so I'm going to have to remedy that soon.
You've had Knob Creek rye, though. I mean, that's just a higher proof.
I don't think I do.
Really? Yeah, the Knob Creek rye is fantastic, but the Jim Beam rye, the green label, I mean, that with their double oak, they're just like two super price performers. I mean, like $23, and they're fantastic. They're lower proof, but they're fantastic.
I have to pick one up because, yeah, no, I know that I don't. I've got a standard Knob Creek. You know, it's a 9 year 100 proof. Got an older label on it. Then I've got a Knob Creek 15 year that my buddy gifted to me that I put up on a shelf and haven't seen it since he gave it to me. And then I've got some store pick Knob Creek 15 years. Well, I've got one now. I had like five of them. I got one hanging around. And I think that might be all the Knob Creek that I've got. As a matter of fact, I know that I don't have the rye. I've had it, but I don't have it. So I'll have to change that on both accounts.
Yeah, I think it's a hundred. It's pretty much the green label, just aged a little bit longer and at higher proof.
Okay. With regards to rye whiskey, I have a bottle for each of you of that 100 proof high, hard truth that we had. So I'll be sending that to you guys here pretty soon. That shit's delicious. I've got several bottles of it. In fact, every time I've been making it a point to go back to Meijer and buy two at a time. The last time I did, they show it as $40-something on the shelf. And then the last time I bought some, it was $68 for the pair. So I end up getting them for $34, you know, $6+ less than what the shelf price says, which I was pleased with. And I seriously considered turning around and going back and buying two more while I was still in the store. I didn't want to be greedy, give people a chance, whatever, but it'll still be there. I guarantee it, because that doesn't look like the tall canteen bottle with the, you know, it's in a wine bottle. So people are going to overlook that, even with Hard Truth on the label. And plus the label's kind of busy. So it's kind of hard to make out the fact that it says Hard Truth and really, unless you're really looking for it. So anyway, I'll grab a couple more of those on Thursday after I take my daughters to their lacrosse game. Luckily, it's right across the street. So those will be headed your guys' way here pretty soon. Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and finish up this old Overholt and we can get into this whiskey of the week, because that shit's delicious.
Yep. The whiskey of the week comes our way from Jerry. You have to give us the rundown on how you found this in a severely discounted pricing.
So I'm not 100% sure how it happened. I want to say this is typically runs for like 110, 120 bottle. The stores around me had it for $29.99, and a couple other stores had it for $35.99. There's something about if it sits on your shelf too long, you can get like money back or something like that. I'm not 100% sure. It sounded sketchy as hell, but I bought a bunch, gifted a bunch. It's a fantastic whiskey either way. I don't know if I would spend a 120 on it, but we are talking about a Blue Run. This is their Emerald Rye, their cast strength rye, coming in at 116.7 proof. From what I've seen, it's a blend of 189 barrels that was contract distilled at Castle and Key by Jim Rutledge and then blended by Shaylin Gammon. So a couple big names are involved with the production of this bottle. It is a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. That's really all I've really seen about it. That's the one thing about Blue Run. They don't really give you too much about the product.
Kentucky straight it rye is, whiskey.
Or rye, yes.
Yeah, I saw that it was a blend of three different rye mash bills. And the same thing, I saw 189 barrels in this winter batch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Thanks for finding this and getting it at such a good price for us, because it's 100+ everywhere I've ever seen it. And
this is the only Blue Run that I've ever thought about pulling the trigger on because of the price. So because you managed to find this, I now have a bottle of Blue Run. So I'm going to double down on what Paul said. Thank you for that.
Like I said, for that 110, 120, whatever it actually is, I don't know if I can pull the trigger for it. It's a high price, but for that $35 or $25, whatever the hell it was, but
yeah, it's on the nose for me. It's for a rye, I get a ton of caramel. There's a little bit of pepper, but I get a sweetness too that's, you know, caramel sweet, obviously, but it's more like a frosting or something like that. More like a powdered sugary sweetness on the nose, which is, and I don't get, like, in a blind just nosing this, I probably would say this is a bourbon, it wouldn't even come to my head that this was a rye off the nose. There's a little bit of floral, maybe. But it's not any kind of traditional rye notes off the nose.
On that caramel, yeah, I get the caramel and the char run together. So that's how it's coming through for me, is like a charred caramel or like a barrel aged caramel. But yes, that nose is fantastic. Jerry, what were you going to say? Yeah.
Forgot what I was going to say. But anyways, yeah, I get that. It's like a caramel with a little bit of that floral note and then like a vanilla frosting sitting there. Yeah.
I need to be swirling it.
I think if I was to guess, this is a barely legal rye.
Yeah. I could agree with that on the palate.
Right about that 55% rye.
Yeah. It's definitely not a high rye, because even on the palate, that caramel comes first for me. It kind of starts out sweet. caramel. Then it kind of goes into some, like, some baking spices, and then that's where you pick up the rye. I'm getting, like, mint, clove. It's got a peppery, spicy finish. And that's where I pick up more of that, like, oak, leather on the finish. It's a little sweet, but it's mostly spicy and earthy on the finish. But yeah, that caramel carries through big time for being a straight rye.
I got nothing to add to what you said on that. I picked up every damn thing that you said and got nothing else, except I think I'm getting a little bit more of the floral notes. Like, they're coming through a little bit more strongly for me, like, definitely than on the nose, but, like, that's, I mean, pretty much everything is spot on. Yeah. Jerry?
Caramel and then some honey up front. Little bit of that floral comes through. And then towards the end, I'm getting all that, like, a minty rye comes in for me at the end. But yeah, it's not that traditional rye, 95.5 or anything like that. But yeah, starts out, I don't know. It, in a blind, this one would throw me for a loop, I think.
Yeah, I'd put this a high rye bourbon, and if I had to put a style to it,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And
that finish, that lingering finish, definitely sits around for a little bit.
I was enjoying it so much that I forgot we had a cigar and a beard product to even talk about at this point. And I let my cigar actually go out. That I hide this bottle for myself. Jerry, you've seen my upstairs collection. So it sits on top of that tiny cabinet that sits between the two bigger ones, and the whole top of that little cabinet is full, but I put it, there's a shelf on the wall that's just level with the tops of all the bottles. I shove it back behind all the bottles underneath that shelf. And then I stick, like, on the inside, and then I stick another bottle on the outside of it, because let's face it, never going to find another Blue Run for $30. And we were saving this in the event that we were able to get somebody from Blue Run on the show, and that didn't work out yet. But I'm kind of glad, because I wouldn't want to tell them, hey, we got these bottles for $30.
Right. Oh, they know. They know.
I mean, it's not like a traditional rye. It's not, but it does have the rye qualities. But holy fuck, you know, and then on top of it, you get that gorgeous bottle. You know, that bottle shape is distinctive. There's not another bottle shape like the Blue Run bottles. And it's got that little, I mean, you could literally make this little emblem here, not a butterfly. It could be a set of lips or a butthole or whatever the fuck else you want to put out there. But, you know, making it out of metal and putting it on the outside of the bottle, you can touch it, you know, that's pretty cool. So, and then I've talked to Jerry and Paul, I'm sure you've seen it, but I've never talked to you about it. Their new distillery that they're building. Have you seen mock-ups and all this?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it. It's going to be pretty special.
Yeah. That's going to be in Georgetown. And for anybody that doesn't know, that's going to be Georgetown, Kentucky, that is. And it's going to be in the shape of an infinity symbol. And the entire roof is made up of solar panels, and which is going to be interesting to see how they deal with that black mold that comes out of the rick houses, out of the barrels. They've got an amphitheater that they're building. They're working on sustainability initiatives. It just looks beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I'm excited. It's opening in 2025. So sometime next year. So even if we can't get everybody together for a trip to Kentucky this year, definitely needs to happen next year, because that'll be open. The new Jay Mattingly is open. Ah, shit. Jerry, what was the name of the place that we went to in the distillery district here in Lexington where we thieved it right out of the barrel?
RD1.
Yeah, RD1. They're moving to a new location that's currently being built, and I've been by it and can't really tell anything because construction has just started, but it's an entirely new shopping center, and they're going to be in there. So, and Barrel House Distilling just broke ground a couple months ago on a new spot a couple counties away. And so there's going to be a lot of changes here in this area to check out. So that Blue Run is going to be, it's going to be the major attraction. I feel like just from having seen the mock-ups and all that stuff and everything they've got planned, I think that's going to be something really special. So, and of course, you know, anytime you've got Jim Rutledge attached to your project, whether it's in the past or the present or possibly the future, you know, whiskey nerds are going to flock. You know, people are still running to Four Roses because some of the stuff that you're buying in the bottle is, you know, distillate that he made when he was there, you know, because, you know, that stuff's got some age on it. So we'll definitely have to be making a trip to Blue Run.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to.
Very well with this cigar, too, because this is one of the mildest cigars I've ever smoked, I think.
Yeah.
You want to get into what this cigar is?
Yeah, so I got these cigars in a bundle from JR Cigars. And make no mistake about it, JR Cigars has some of the best deals on the planet. And again, we're not sponsored by them. We've never spoken to them. They've only ever reposted one of our posts once. And that wasn't even the Bourbon Beards and Belvedere's account. That was my account. I wish they reposted the podcast account instead of mine. But whatever, I'll take the exposure, try to, you know, maybe that'll help send some traffic our way. I've got many, many boxes severely discounted. Now, I don't know if they're, you know, their original cellophane around these boxes was damaged and they couldn't sell it or for you know, the full price, or I don't know what the deal is, but somehow they're able to make this happen. Their Cigar of the Month Club is amazing. They send you six fantastic cigars, $30. And then you pay $40 a year and you get free shipping on one cigar or 200 boxes. But they have bundles for sale for $50, $70. The last bundle that I bought was, it was $75, and I got like 30 or 40 cigars in that bundle. And they're high quality cigars. They're not sending you Swisher Sweets or anything like that. So this came in one of those bundles and I sent it out to these guys. This is a Rocky Patel Vintage 1999 Connecticut. Now, I don't know the size. I think it's about 6 inches long and probably about a 50 ring gauge, I'd say.
Six and a half by 52.
Okay.
From Thank those.
Jerry. What's the rest of the details on that? Because I don't have that either.
Yeah, so the cellophane didn't have the sticker on it saying the size, but I looked on JR's to see what different sizes they are, and not a torpedo, so that one's out. And it seems like closest one it would be was 6.5 by 52, which is their Toro. Connecticut shade wrapper, Nicaragua binder, Dominican Republic and Nicaraguan fillers. And they say it's a mellow strength cigar, which is probably 100% spot on.
Yeah, I saw this. The wrapper was 7 year old, and the filler is 8 year old tobacco.
Yeah, but with it being a mellow cigar, there is a lot of flavor to it. Usually, a mellow cigar for me is one tone, one note for the most part. This one actually has a little bit more depth to it. A lot more like spices than I would expect from it.
Yep. My first note was just jotting down notes as I'm smoking this. It's like a red pepper flake, like that you put on pizza or whatever. Like that's what I get. It's not like overpowering, but it's not like a black pepper. It's like a, you know, yeah. I get that. And it's also creamy. I get like some almonds bitterness, maybe a little bit. The sweet notes in there too. I mean, yeah, it is. It's a well-balanced cigar, but yeah, it's a very mild smoke. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm really enjoying it, and it's going good with these, you know, spicier rye that we just had.
You know, it's like the juxtaposition that we always talk about, right? We've got a higher proof spirit here. So a milder cigar, and that's working out really well. It is very, very mild. I would agree with that description 100%, but generally I prefer fuller flavors. You know, we've talked about that a bunch on here. Black coffee, raw to rare steak for me, you know, full flavored cigars, full flavored whiskey. But you know, this is this is the perfect pairing for this. I mean, it would pair well with any other high proof whiskey, but it's very nice. It's smoking evenly. It will go out if you don't tend to it, but if you don't tend to it, that's your fault. You know, I did let it go out a couple different times, but even after relighting it, it's not getting a fucked up burn line. It's just going right on down through there. So the one thing that I did appreciate, it's been sitting in the bag that it came in without any type of humidity other than what it came with. And it didn't come with a Boveda bag or anything. And I didn't cut the end off. I just went with a punch this time, just in case it was dried out. And that punch went right on through, no problem. There's no cracking on the cap, nothing like that. So it's working out pretty nicely for me.
Yeah, I read when I was looking this one up, I read that a lot of people have problems with the cap coming apart. So I did cut it, and I have no problems with the cap at all. I'm getting a little cracking on the binder or the wrapper, I should say, as I go, but it's burning evenly, hasn't gone out on me yet. And I mean, it's got a good draw. It's burning quick though. I don't think this is going to last as long as a normal Toro, you know, that I'm used to, but overall, yeah, I'm happy with it. JR Cigars has them right now for singles for $11.45. I'm sure you can get much better deal going through a bundle like Adam did, but singles are $11.45, and you can get boxes or packs of 5, 10, and 20 as well, but they all equal out to about $11 a cigar.
Well, on that note, if you want to get a box of 20, they're short Gordos, the 5x60s. Box of 20 is on a deal right now for $113.
Oh, there you go. That's a hell of a lot cheaper. So yeah, I'd recommend going with that size.
They also have a pack of 5 for $27, $26.97. So yeah, you don't have to find a whole place for 20 cigars. You can find 5 of them for $27. Yeah, I saw the same thing about the cap falling apart or whatever. Mine had a little bit of it wasn't laid on completely even. There were some bumps in it, but there's been no issues with it. It hasn't fallen off. I did a V cut like I usually do. I lit it up before we started, and I had it go out when we were sampling the blue run, relit it, and it's almost a straight line all the way across. But that red pepper, black pepper spice is still full force, hitting the back of the throat. But that creaminess is still helping kind of flow through. Here's to see if it changes any going through. A little bit of woodiness too now. Or maybe like a woody nuttiness.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good one. I'm curious to see how it's going to work out with this kind of a weird whiskey we're going to finish off with. But I think get into the beard product before we go that route. You guys are cool with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about it.
So the beard product that we tried this week, it's kind of a weird one. I stumbled across it on social media and figured I'd give it a try for the price. I've been really happy with it. It's an oil from Encompass Farming. Normal beard oils are, you know, $15 for an ounce or something like that. This works out with shipping to be about $3.50 an ounce. It's a $8 bottle, 4 ounce bottle, $8 for $8, and shipping to me was $6. So $14 delivered, 4 ounces of oil. But this is not necessarily a beard oil either. It's just everything oil. They have the uses on the side of the bottle, and it's a laundry list from moisturizer, massage oil, makeup remover, hair anti-frizz oil, lube, shave oil, beard oil, bug and tick repellent, leather and wood conditioner, sunburns, skin rashes, scar and stretch mark oil, and good for everything, according to them. This company, from looking into them, they're TikTok famous, essentially. They have like 830,000 followers on TikTok. And I think that's how the company blew up, is through their social media. From what I can tell, it's a couple in Nebraska that just wanted to make a good all-around oil for, you know, whatever you need it for, essentially, because they say it's good for everything. It's 99.56 organic with no synthetic ingredients. The ingredients for this oil are coconut oil, olive oil, jojoba oil, peppermint essential oil, Lang Lang oil, lemon oil, orange essential oil, and lavender oil. The scent to me is, the first scent is peppermint. I really get that off the, like right away. It's peppermint, but there's also, I get some lemon and then a little bit of lavender too. So it's a very pleasant scent. It's a great oil. I mean, I've been using it for a while. I've had this bottle for a little while. I figured it would just be like a good oil. If my beard ever got dry, my face got dry, for that price, I could just douse it on there, 30 minutes before a shower. But I've come to like it a lot more. It makes my skin feel great. Beard feels great. It's not greasy. It almost goes on as like kind of like a lotion. Like, I rubbed some on my arms today just to see when I was looking at all these uses and stuff. And once it goes on, it absorbs into your skin, and it's not that greasy like you would think rubbing an oil on your arm would be. I'm really looking forward to trying this as a tick repellent. So me and my kid like to go on little nature walks and stuff in the woods by my house, and the ticks here are horrible. And this, so far already this year, we've been finding them on our dogs and stuff. So I'm interested to see how this is going to do as a tick repellent. And on their website, you can get, I think right now I looked, they only had the 4 ounce bottles, but they sell it in 4, 8, 16, and 32 ounce bottles. They were all unavailable. I think only the 4 ounce was available now, so I couldn't see the prices, but I would imagine they just scale up, to roughly $2 an ounce before shipping. So yeah, I mean, I like it for the price. You can't go wrong. Does what it says it does, at least for being, used as a beard oil for me. So interested to see what you guys thought.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I thought it was going to be some kind of just something you throw in when it was dry or like after doing yard work or something. Yeah. There's really no complaints. And I was looking at it for, like you said, $2 an ounce. It's like, this can't be that good. And then I saw the whole TikTok famous and all that shit, and I was like, yeah, it definitely can't be good. I was quite surprised. This is one of the two times a year my eczema on my hands start going crazy when it goes from cooler weather, start to get warmer, and then vice versa. And it just so happens that's when we put ice in at work for the hockey team and take ice out. So my hands are dry and everything. Been putting it in and then like rubbing the rest into my hands, and you could see where I kind of like stopped on my wrist area where it's like dry and not dry sort of deal. So I'm kind of curious how this is going to work for more of like the lotion than it is the beard. It's doing well in the beard. Got no complaints in there. The skin underneath it definitely feels a lot more moisturized than I would have thought. Yeah, I kind of want to see how this does for the next couple of weeks, because it was 80 degrees yesterday and now it's 58 here. I don't know what the hell happened, but we had a nice 30 degree swing overnight. So my eczema was going crazy. But yeah, they're 4 ounce, 8 ounce. The 32 ounce is $56. And then the 16 ounce is $37. And they've got a little pump spray thing with it and everything. So yeah, kind of curious how this is going to work out for the rest of the little sample you sent us.
Yeah, I enjoyed the product itself. The scent profile is not exactly up my alley, but it's not something that I disliked. It's just not something that I would necessarily purchase specifically for the scent. The products themselves do exactly what you want them to do, exactly what you expect them to do. It's like Paul said, non-greasy, definitely moisturizes. My face feels better than it has in a long time. So there's some properties that it has that other oils, I would say, don't necessarily. not that those other oils are causing issues, but it's just that my face feels softer. So I think it's great for the price, great product in and of itself. I'd be interested to see what else these guys have coming down the road.
Yeah, I think this is all they sell. It looks like they do collaborations with other companies, because they have like some lip balms and some, I think I saw a deodorant on there and stuff like that. I think they do collaborations using some of their base oils and things like that to make other products. But I think their main focus is on this all-purpose oil. Now, the one thing I do have to say is, when I got it, I was like, what the fuck is this? Because it was in the winter months when I ordered it, and it came and it was pretty much a butter. It was like the consistency of like a soft bread butter. But that being, you know, with them using all natural coconut oil and things like that, it is temperature sensitive. So, I mean, I'm sitting outside right now and it's about 45 degrees and it's starting to, you know, thicken up on me. So what I've done is I just lay it in the sink, the whole bottle, and just run the hot water on it for a few minutes. And then it thins out, you know, pretty thin on the thinner side of oil, you know, of a beard oil. And it goes on and goes, absorbs, or I can put it on easily and it thins it out so it doesn't get all, you know, caked up in the beard or whatever. But once it's on, even if you walk outside, like I'm, like I said, I'm sitting 45 degree, it's already, it's absorbed into my beard and it's not getting firm or anything like that. It's still nice and soft. Nothing's coming off on my hands if I touch my beard. So I've been really pleased with this one. I mean, like I said, for that price, I mean, you can't beat it. So they're doing good things. It's all natural, that kind of thing. So I think it's a pretty good company. If you want, you know, all the other scents and things like that, obviously go to the beard companies and stuff like that. But I recommend everybody grabs at least a 4 ounce bottle of this to have on hand, just as like a, just a utility oil, like, you know, just you don't mind if you overuse it, that kind of thing. Put on your hands, put on your head, put whatever. So good company.
What was it? You got that website pulled up in front of you, Paul?
EncompassFarming.com.
Okay. Let's make sure to get that pulled up so we can shout it out at the end of the episode just to make sure. You guys ready to move on to This Pours on Me? Because I've got mine poured, and it's pretty exciting.
Yep. Let's do it. I got mine poured as well. So this one is one that's local to me. It's a Maryland company out of Frederick, Maryland. This is a really cool distilling company in general. They make a lot of cool products. This is 10th Ward Distilling. And the sample we have in front of us is their Caraway Rye. They got awesome marketing. The bottle is a square bottle. It's really cool, hefty bottle in your hand, you know, thick glass. The labels are all cool like that for every one of their products. It's, this one's got like an, looks like kind of like an old timey lady with no head, just rye coming out for her head. This is batch 36. It's 90 proof. And it is a mash bill of malted rye, malted barley, and dried caraway seeds. All of their rye, which is what they all of their rye, I should say, is locally sourced. 100% of it's locally sourced and locally malted as well. This is one that they put out when they first started. I think it's not discontinued, but they kind of retired making this because they started to win some awards and stuff for their Maryland rye, and this is the base for that without the caraway seeds. So they wanted to start aging more of it and laying more down. So they stopped making this product. They said it's not gone forever, but it's gone now, but I can still find it on the shelves because it's just a weird one. I think people overlook the side of the bottle has some couple little facts on it that I did not know, but caraway seeds are not actually seeds. They're a fruit. It's one of the oldest cultivated spices dating back to the Egyptians in 3000 BC. So there you go. Caraway seeds are actually a fruit. Their core lineup, they do a lot of seasonal specialty distilling and canned cocktails. They're real big on, have a huge line of canned cocktails too, which are really good. But their core lineup is a Maryland rye, which is locally grown and malted rye. Like I said before, they have a smoked bourbon. It almost kind of drinks as a scotch. They have a gin, but it's a rye whiskey base gin, which is really, really good. And then they are producing Maryland's first and only Absinthe Nouvelle. So they do have an absinthe also. That I have yet to try, but it's on my list to grab. On the nose for this one, I get, it's just unaged whiskey. You get that white dog that's, you know,
yep.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's, you can't miss that. But I get like a little bit of breadiness too, maybe, but I mean, that just that unaged white dog just punches right in the nose.
Yeah, I get, it's interesting that you said they have a gin, because this, the nose somewhat reminds me of the Bowling and Birch gin made by Limestone Branch, which I liken to a bottle of liquefied Fruity Pebbles, which I also get on the nose here. Fruity Pebbles or Fruit Loops. I definitely get that new make scent. It hits me right in the kisser, you know. There's a little bit of a lemony citrus something that gets me on the nose as well. And some grainy funk for me. That kind of rounds it all out for me. Jerry?
Yeah, I was getting that grainy new make typical smell. I was getting that citrusy smell that once you said like Fruity Pebbles and Fruit Loops or whatever, that's what I started getting from that note. But I'm also getting like open up a bag of brand new bag of rye bread and that rye spice, like that rye bread hits you. That's what I'm getting. Almost like there's a certain brand or kind. I can't think of it, but yeah, that's what I'm getting. Like a fruit, like a breakfast with like a toasted rye bread.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And then on the palate, it changes big time for me. It doesn't drink as just a regular white dog. It's like malty. There's a little bit of maybe chocolate notes I get. There's like some a licorice or anise, but the overwhelming one for me on the finish is it's like a pumpernickel bread. And I love these Utz pretzels that are pumpernickel pretzel sticks. And I think it's like, that's what I'm getting. That finish to me is those Utz pumpernickel pretzel sticks. So it's like a bready pumpernickel, you know, kind of finish. I'm sure that's coming from, you know, the rye caraway seed mix is getting that note for me. But yeah, this is one I really like.
Now, I don't get shit. There was something that you just said. And I was like, no, I don't get that at all. But we'll skip past that because figuring it out is going to take up too much time. I get mint on that a lot, too. It does. Everything that I get on the nose does carry through on the palate for me. But I definitely get that mint on the finish. And I'm sitting with it. The spiciness and all that from the alcohol and from the finish itself are gone. And all I got left is mint. In my mouth. I like this a lot. This is good shit.
Pumpernickel rye that I was thinking of. That's all it is. That's exactly what it is. A lot of like bright lemon for me on the palate. Almost like a lemon candy. That bready note. That pumpernickel rye note still in there. I had to look it up too because I wasn't 100% sure what caraway was. But I guess it has a distinct anise or licorice flavor as the main flavor, which is probably why that's coming through. But yeah, just like citrus and pumpernickel rye bread. This is fantastic.
Yeah. And this is, we keep referring back to saying that, you know, noses is new making stuff. This is crystal clear. It's water in a glass. It hasn't been aged at all. Just want to throw that out there. This company, 10th Ward, also is woman owned. Monica Pierce is the owner. Like I said before, everything's locally sourced. It's just a great company. They do some weird seasonal releases and things like that are always good. I have not been able to get up there yet, but that's definitely in my plans for this spring to get up there because they have a whole tasting room and all that I, you know, that I saw online. I just haven't made it up there yet. It's about an hour or so from me. So that's definitely going to be a day trip for me this summer or this spring.
And what's a bottle of this go for price-wise?
I was trying to remember what I think I paid right around 36 to 40 in that neighborhood because I got this a while back. This is one that kind of, you know, sits up on the shelf and I go to it every once in a while. But once I sent you guys samples, I've had it a few times since then just because it got pulled to the front of the shelf. But yeah, I think it was less than 40, I want to say. So, I mean, for that price too, for this, I mean, it's unique. It's definitely something that, you know, if you can get this in your area, I think I saw on their website, they'll ship to like Maryland, DC, and then like two other random states like Arkansas and Nebraska or something weird. But I'm sure you can find it somewhere else on some, you know, secondary shipper.
And pay way too much, I'm sure.
Probably.
That was some good shit. That's some good shit. All right, fellas. I reckon that concludes another episode of Bourbon Beards and Belvederes. folks, don't forget to check out these products. You got BlueRunSpirits.com, RockyPatel.com. You can also find those on JRCigars.com. You can find the beard products at EncompassFarming.com. And you can find the website for this whiskey at 10th Ward Distilling.com. Actually, when I went to 10th Ward Distilling, the first thing that pops up is it routes you to a specific page on the site that says Retiring Caraway Rye Blog. So, and then right across the, we will miss you, Caraway Rye, just discontinuing until supplies last. And I don't know what the fuck that means, but regardless, they're letting you know that it's going away. Be sure to check us out on Instagram at Bourbon Beards and Belvederes. Check us out on TikTok at BURBN Beards Belvederes, because TikTok is fucking stupid and won't allow us to put the full name in there. You can also find us on Facebook, but we don't really use that. We just let Instagram take care of the posts for us. And you can also check out our website at bourbonbeardsandbelvederes.com. If you're listening on Google Podcasts, be aware that those are going away very soon. That's not an us decision. That's a Google Podcast decision. They're discontinuing Google Podcasts entirely, but we are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, blah, blah, blah. If you can think of it, we're probably on there. And if you can't think of it, just think of the major podcast platforms you can find us there. Until next week, cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Bourbon Beards and Belvederes is produced by Adam Bolden, Paul Rousseau, and Jerry Ullman. Editing by Adam Bolden. Music by Ryan Johnson.